But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, this is your word. It is truth. And Lord, we long today to hear your truth and to have it pressed into our minds and our hearts. Lord, we just pray that you would fill this place even now with your Spirit. Open our ears. Open our hearts and minds. Lord, teach us your truth, we pray. Lord, we long to hear a word from you. May we hear your voice this day and your voice only. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may wonder why we're addressing two of the fruits of the Spirit this morning when we've been doing them individually for the last 3 weeks. But the simple reason is because these two go hand in hand. Usually, when you see one in some sort of quotation, some passage, when you see oftentimes a definition of one, or when you see some proverbial saying, you will see the other one used either to define or clarify one of these other, the other of the fruits. Oftentimes, in fact, more frequently than not, when you see these two used in a quotation or defined, you also see the word love there included or a part of the quotation or the definition. For example, there's a Chinese proverb that says, kindness in giving creates love. Or Wordsworth wrote that the best portion of a good man's life are those small, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love. The Apostle Paul, in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, puts these two side by side. Love is patient. Love is kind. Often patience is also described as something that contributes to wisdom. Michelangelo said that genius is eternal patience. And there's an old Dutch proverb that says an ounce of patience is worth a pound of brains. So some of you know that to be true, even though you don't follow it, as I don't sometimes. But in the Scripture, we often see these two together. These are attributes of God, and they are often together when we see them used of God. Joel chapter 2, verse 13, Jonah chapter 4, and verse 2, as we read this morning, says that God is slow to anger, and he has great kindness. So these are attributes of God, and as children of God, they should be attributes of his children, of his people. We should display these in our relations with one another and with others. Now, the word that Paul uses here, makrothumia, patience, is a word that occurs both in the New Testament and in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. That word makrothumia, which is translated here patience, is an attribute of God. Numbers 14:18 says God is makrothumia, slow to anger and abounding in love. Psalm 86:15 says, you, O Lord, are slow to anger and abounding in love. Psalm 130 and verse 8 says, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in love. And I could go on. But the point is, God is patient. and abounding in love. Now, what we should say at the outset, though, is as frequently as love and compassion and kindness are attributes of God that are linked with His patience, there's also unmistakably in Scripture another theme that runs throughout the Scriptures, that God will not forever be patient. God's patience is not unlimited. God strives with people. He is patient with people. And the Old Testament is replete with examples of God's patience with Israel. Moses, you know, had to go back up on the mountain to get a second set of Ten Commandments because in his anger he broke the first set when he comes back and the Israelites are worshiping a golden calf. He goes back, he gets the tablets for the second set, and God proclaims to him there on the mountain. He says, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, showing love to thousands, forgiving wickedness and sin and rebellion, but He will not let the guilty go unpunished. He shows His wrath to the children and the children's children for the sins of the father, to the third and fourth generation. The godly Jew understood one thing. God is patient. God is abounding in love. But God's not always going to be patient. This was the message of the prophets over and over. Israel worshiped every kind of idol imaginable. God chastised them, punished them. They just continued. And eventually God's patience wears out. But the godly Jews, the ones who worship God, who understood, also knew that God's patience led men to repentance. It was God's patience, striving with His people, that led many to repentance. Now, in the New Testament, we see patience as an attribute of God. And we also see that it should be an attribute of His people, of His children. And the connection between the patience of God and the patience of His people is never, I think, more clearly demonstrated than in the parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. And in that parable, the servant owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents is a little bit like some of these numbers that are being bandied around in Washington nowadays. It is an incomprehensible number. You don't know what that number even is. A talent was 6,000 denarii. One denarius was a day's pay, typically. So 10,000 talents would be the equivalent of 200,000 years of labor for the average person. So this is a tremendous sum that the servant can't possibly pay. So the king orders that the servant, his wife, and his children all be sold so he can recover a little bit of his money. And the servant falls down on his knees and begs the king with these words, "Be patient. Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything," which was a lie. He couldn't possibly repay. But the king showed kindness to him and forgave the debt. Well, you know, as the story goes, the servant left, and as he's leaving the palace, he sees one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii, about 3 months' wages, which could certainly be paid back. And he jumps on the man and begins to choke him and says, "I need my money and I want it now." And that servant says these words, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything," which he could do. But the unmerciful servant says no and has him thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. The king hears about this and is angry. He's full of wrath at the unmerciful servant and has him brought in and has him put in prison and tortured until he shall pay back every cent, that is, forever. Now, this parable is undoubtedly about forgiveness, but what stands behind the forgiveness is the patience and the kindness of the king. That is the way his servants should act. That is the way his servants should deal with one another. The unmerciful servant is the prime example of how we are not to act toward one another. Patience and kindness is what should mark our life and our relations with each other and with others who are not part of God's family for that matter. Now, it is because of God's patience and kindness that we should act that way. And, you know, my favorite verses in that regard are 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says, "This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But it was for that very reason that I was shown mercy, that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." It is God's patience. I was the unmerciful servant who could not pay what he owed, and so were you. We owed a debt that was beyond anything we could ever pay to God. And God, in his great patience, did not cast me into hell, which he could have done justly, rightly at any point in time. But he was patient with me until he changed my heart and let me understand the gospel and believe the gospel and be saved. He paid the debt. And therefore, we should keep that in our mind. We should be, as Paul said there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it is God's kindness that leads you to repentance. It is God's mercy and kindness to you that leads you to repentance. We sometimes are more like the unmerciful servant in our relations with God's other children, in relations to others. Paul said, also in Romans 2:4, "Do you treat with contempt the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience?" And that's what we do oftentimes. We have been the recipients of this, but we treat it with contempt, and we treat others unmercifully and unkindly, and have no patience for them. This great kindness of God was extended to wicked and ungrateful sinners. It was extended to those who were at enmity with him, the scripture says. We were God's enemies, and yet he was patient and kind to us. We owed what we could not pay, and God himself paid the debt. Like the king in the story, he forgave the debt, but he not only forgave it, God paid it. He paid the full amount in his son Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 says, "God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might display His incomparable grace expressed to us in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That is what we have received from Christ. That should be our way of life. This is not just some character trait that is a nice thing for nice people to have. It's a way of life. It's a way of life for God's people. It is the fruit of the Spirit to be patient, to be kind, because those are attributes of God. Those are things we have ourselves received from God. And those are things that should mark our life if indeed we are filled with the Spirit of God. It's increasingly difficult to do that because we get to live in a world that cares so little for patience or kindness. Take a drive on the interstate someday, you'll learn all about patience, especially if I'm near you. No. I'm in a hurry, I admit. But we all do that. Our time is valuable. The other person's time is not valuable. That's not kindness or patience. But we live in a world, and that's just a lighthearted example. We live in a world that has very little use for kindness. Oh, they have a definition of kindness, but it's a perverted definition of kindness. It's not the kindness that we see exhibited in God's attributes. Kindness to them means that we should be long-suffering and kind to animals, to the environment, to their perverted behavior. We should be tolerant and kind to their divergent views that are contrary to what God says. And we should be kind and accepting of all kind of views except the ones with which they disagree. They won't kindness expressed to dogs, to lizards, to whales, and they have not one shred of kindness in them for the baby in the womb. They have not one shred of kindness for a terminally ill person who's just using up assets. That's the kind of folks around whom we live. But you know, it seems oftentimes it's a thankless and useless thing to witness to those kind of people. Why would we show kindness to them? Because they would at any moment trample us underfoot if they had the opportunity. But it was to such people as that that the Lord Jesus Christ came. It was to such people as that, you and I, to whom the Lord Jesus Christ came in a great demonstration of God's patience and kindness, and drew us to Himself. So as His people, as His children, as those who have within them His Spirit, we should demonstrate this fruit of patience and kindness to one another and to others. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your unlimited patience with us. Lord, we thank You for Your kindness that drew us to Yourself, that changed our hearts when we were opposed to You, Lord, when we were at war with You. And Lord, in Your great mercy, You gave us new hearts. Lord, often those new hearts are not reflected in our patience or kindness with one another. Oftentimes they're not reflected at all in our tolerance of those in the world. And Lord, we justify ourselves because they themselves are not kind or patient. But Lord, You Yourself are the greatest example. You came to a world of rebellious, wicked hateful sinners. And Lord, you gave yourself for our sins. You gave yourself that we might indeed one day be the incomparable demonstration of your grace and your great kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, how thankful we are, how we rejoice. Lord, and help that joy and kindness to overflow from us to those around us. Lord, may they, as Peter said, see us. May they be curious about the hope that we have, of our patience, our long-suffering, our kindness and grace. And Lord, may that indeed draw some to you as they see the effects and the results of what you have done in the lives of folks like us. And Lord, just help us, we pray, as we have opportunity to be clear, to put forth the glorious truth of the gospel as clearly, as lovingly, as kindly as we can. But Lord, always in truth, and Lord, always with an eye to the fact that you are not forever patient. Lord, there is a day of judgment coming, and Lord, help us to work with that in mind, that these folks do not always have another day to repent. Lord, help us to be motivated by that, and Lord, help our lives to be a reflection of that hope, and in the meantime, a reflection of your great grace and kindness, patience, and long-suffering to us. And may you receive all the glory and honor. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.